enjoying the Palm Sunday spring weather, huh? See those lilies and daffodils in full bloom. Well, if you're here 2 weeks ago, we talked about pride goes before destruction. If you missed that message, you might want to catch that. But we kind of started off with, a thing. It wouldn't be great if you could have a pill called Humilify. And we have a pharmacist, he'll remain unnamed. And he actually produced the first bottle of Humilify. And the interesting thing is he's got Jeffrey Epstein's name on it. James chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, take one capsule twice a day. Here you go, Jeff. So see if it works. All right. All right. He's going to try one out. We'll see if it works by the end of the message. All right. After dating for 5 years, a widow who was 80 years young shared her 5 rules for dating. Here they are. Rule number 1, date a man with integrity who will always be honest. Rule number 2, date a man with a good sense of humor. Rule number 3, date a man with money who will lavish his riches upon you. Rule number 4, date a man who can fix things around the house. And finally, rule number 5, make sure these 4 men don't know each other. Probably pretty good advice there, sage advice. All right, moving from the silly to the serious. This morning as we move towards communion, I want to talk to you about God has a plan. God has a plan. Lord, I do love humor. Lord, I pray we all love you even more. I just thank you for what's already transpired. And I thank you for Palm Sunday. And I pray it becomes clear that it wasn't an accident at all. It's all part of your plan. I ask that you fill me from the soles of my feet to the crown of my head. And Lord, the words I speak will be your words and your words alone. Pray you give us, as always, soft hearts to receive, ears to hear. And Holy Spirit, you are just welcome here. And I just praise you now what you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God has a plan. You'll hear the refrain over and over this morning. God has a plan. On April 6, 32 AD, Jesus Christ came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Skip, can you put the picture up? You ask why a donkey? And the short answer is because God has a plan. You see, if a king came riding into a city on a stallion, that means he was coming in war, he's coming in judgment. But on the other hand, if he came riding into a city on a donkey, that meant he was coming in peace. He was going to bring peace. And 500 years before Jesus Christ stepped on planet Earth, the Hebrew prophet Zechariah in chapter 9 and verse 9 wrote these enlightening words, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see, it was no accident that Jesus Christ came riding into Jerusalem on that day, that very day in Jerusalem, on a donkey. God was saying through the person of Jesus Christ on that Palm Sunday, "I have come in peace. I have come to bring you peace." And 5 days later, this is what happened. Skip, can you put it up? That's what happened. And I want you to know that God in the person of Jesus Christ was bringing peace. That's what he was doing. He was bringing peace between God and man. It's only through Jesus, it's only through his precious blood that you can be attached to God. You can have a relationship with God, that you can find forgiveness for your sins and peace for your soul. You see, God has a plan. God has a plan. But interestingly enough, if you look at Mark's account of Palm Sunday, as Jesus was riding in to Jerusalem on a donkey, the people began to climb the palm trees, cut the palm branches down, and began to lay them in front of Jesus. Many of them began waving the palm branches before Jesus as he rode by. And, you know, oftentimes we think of a palm branch as a symbol of peace, but The reality is, for the Jew, it was a nationalistic symbol. It would be kind of like the President of the United States walking down 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and all of the Americans waving their flags before him. You have to understand, the palm branch was a symbol of national pride. And as the Jews saw Jesus riding on that donkey on that Palm Sunday morning, so many of them were crying out, deliver us from Rome, restore our national pride. You see, the problem was, is many of the Jews on that day didn't understand that God had a plan. You know, it's interesting, if you look at Dr. Luke's account of Palm Sunday, as the crowds were waving their palm branches as Jesus was riding by, many of them, though, were actually crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, though, they were extremely upset. And they said to Jesus, tell those people to quit blaspheming. Tell them to quit crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And you know what? Jesus, though, turns to the religious leaders and he says something very cryptic to them. In fact, he said in Luke chapter 19 and 42, as he's weeping over the city, because Jesus, you see, he can see the future and he sees what's going to happen to Jerusalem, and he's weeping over the city. He says, if you, even you Pharisees, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus was chiding the religious leaders. He said, you of all people should have known God had a plan. Palm Sunday was no accident. Palm Sunday was no quirk of chance. It was all a part of God's great plan. Some 600 years before Jesus walked and stepped on planet Earth, the Hebrew prophet Daniel picked the very day, did you know that? The very day that the Messiah would reveal himself, show himself in Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, which we just looked at. And we see part of this stunning prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, we're told this. No one understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. So Daniel tells us that there's going to be a decree that allowed the restoration of the city of Jerusalem. You see, in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar the great king of Babylon, he came to Jerusalem. He laid it to rubble. Daniel said there's going to be a decree given that's going to allow you to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. In fact, if you know your Old Testament and you look at the book of Nehemiah, you find that decree, that very decree in Nehemiah in chapter 2. And we can actually date when that decree was given. March 14th, 445 BC, it was given. Skip, put up the chart, put up the graph. This is fabulous. That decree was given by Artaxerxes, who is the Persian king, and on March 14th, 445 BC, he gave the decree that allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem, not just rebuilding the temple, but restoring the entire city of Jerusalem and including the walls. And then Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, he said, 69 sevens will pass, and then the Messiah will reveal himself. 69 sevens. Those sevens are seven-year periods. So if you do your math, 69 times 7 is 483 years. Now we can convert, now watch this, we can convert those years into days, and that comes out to 173,880 days. So from the issuing of a decree by Xerxes, the Persian king, March 14, 445 BC, 1,733,888 days later, 80 days later, the Messiah would come riding in Jerusalem on a donkey. And you know what? We know exactly what that date was. That date actually was March 6th, AD 32. And guess what? That was a Sunday. That was a Sunday. You could check it out for yourself. That was the first Palm Sunday. And Jesus came riding in Jerusalem on that day, on a donkey, and for the first time ever in his ministry, he received the title publicly Messiah and King. And when those religious leaders said, you don't have the people do that, Jesus says, you should have known. You should have known. I was going to ride in. I was coming to you. It was in your scriptures. You all should have known that God has a plan, but you missed it. You know, that's a scary thought to me as I thought about that, to know that God has a plan and that you miss it. And you say, well, what is God's plan? God's plan is actually found in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 9, 10, and 11. Skip, can you put it up? He says this in verse 9, for this reason, the reason that Paul wrote here is, the reason is that Jesus had perfect obedience to the Father, and it culminated in this. Put the picture back up. Because of Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father, because of what he did, he's the one that spanned earth to heaven. He's the one where peace comes through. Watch what Paul says now. He says, for this reason, God, that is the Father, Papa, highly exalted him, Jesus, and gave him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That includes Satan. That includes the fallen angels, and that even includes the great John Lennon who wrote Imagine. Remember that song, Imagine, that blasphemous song? You remember some of the lyrics? Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. And God said every tongue will confess, including John Lennon, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you understand what these verses are saying? You can just write submission. You can write submission over those verses. Because do you realize right now almost everything is in rebellion to God? The universe, the earth is in rebellion to God. It's been subject to the law of entropy. Did you know the universe, the earth, is dying? One-third of the angels are in rebellion to God. The vast majority of humanity is in rebellion to God. And God's great plan, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11, is to bring everything back under submission to his lordship. That's the great plan. His whole plan is to bring the universe, the earth, angels, people, everything is going to be brought back into submission to him. Let me ask you this question. Do you ultimately know what's going to happen to this present universe and earth? Skip, can you put it up? Put up the picture. Have you ever wondered? This is what it's going to look like. Do you realize God is one day going to pour gasoline, we might say, on the universe, on the earth? He's going to take a match and he's going to light it. And there's going to be a huge bonfire. And you can read it in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 at your leisure. Everything will be burned up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So what does that say about your titles right now that you're going after? How about your degrees? How about that wonderful home you got? How about that fabulous car you got? How about that second vacation home? Do you realize all of it's going to burn? No, I tell you, what I'm going to do here in the next month is be honest with you completely and totally. You will get it unvarnished so that you understand. It's all going to burn. It is all going to burn. But then what's going to happen to those angels who are in rebellion? Skip, can you put that picture up? That's a picture of the lake of fire. Those angels, those rebellious angels, will be thrown in the lake of fire. And you know what's going to happen there? They will confess that Jesus is Lord. What about humanity? Skip, can you put up that picture? What about the mass of humanity? You know, there are 7 billion people right now on planet Earth. 7 billion people. The vast majority, by the way, are in rebellion to God. Did you know that? Are in rebellion to Jesus Christ. And if they remain in rebellion, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to join those rebellious angels in the lake of fire. So what do you think, if you're a Christian, what do you think our purpose is? Seriously. Tell these people. Warn them. Tell them what's going to happen to them. That is what our job, we have the most important job on planet Earth, is to bring these people willingly back into submission by placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the best way we're going to do it is by becoming a living gospel. See, we look like Jesus. We look like liberated, free people, alive people who've been set free from the bondage of sin. We just sang it. That is what we're here for. You see, the great problem that I have with the American church and most pastors, they don't get it. They flat out do not get it. Let me just give you one small example of what I'm talking about, and then we'll move to communion. Here we go. Watch this. Let's just take marriage. You know, it's great. You know, we'll go to marriage conferences and this, that, and whatever else. And the average person's idea of marriage is, it's supposed to be very romantic. The flowers, the table. The candles are lit. We're supposed to have a wonderful family life, wonderful vacation times. You know, the nice home, the white picket fence. It's the Warden June Cleaver hour. No, isn't it? Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know what the problem with that picture is? It's unbiblical. The problem is it's unbiblical. Marriage, family is not exempt from God's mandate of Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11. Did you know that your marriage, your family life is designed to do it better? To carry out the mandate of bringing everything under submission to Jesus' control and authority? And let me tell you this. Now listen to this. When you divorce marriage, when you divorce your family life, when you divorce your job, now I'm speaking to Christians now, when you divorce your job, when you divorce your free time from Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11, bringing everything into submission to Jesus and to God, you know what happens? Everything begins to fall apart. Everything begins to fall apart. And it's just tragic what begins to happen. And that's what we're seeing here in America, especially American Christian family. Can you believe it? Our divorce rate rivals that of the world. It's because we don't understand that our marriages, our family life, our job, our free time is about bringing the people around us in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ willingly. Let me just give you an example, all right? Let's just take the New York Yankees for a moment. I hear pain there. It's baseball season, right? It's coming up. Let's say the Yankees this year win zero games. Big goose egg for the Yankees. They lose all 162 games. But you know what? They have fun. No, they have great relationships. They got small groups together. And when they go on the road, they have fabulous road trips. I mean, they have beer and pizza parties. They go bowling together. Now, they don't win a game, but boy, are they having fun. They're having wonderful relationships. How would you as a fan feel about that? Would you go, wow, that's awesome? How about the Yankee brass? You think they would go, woo, that's great. You guys haven't won a game. We're paying, we have a payroll of $330 million a year, but I'm so happy that you're happy. That you're just having wonderful relationships. No, they'd be ticked off. Why? They're supposed to be winning games. And you know what the funny thing is? Is if each Yankee player dedicates themselves to being the best baseball player they can at their position, and they dedicate themselves to working hard to learn how to work together so that they can win games, guess what's going to happen? They're going to win games, and in the process, they're going to have the ride of their life. They're actually going to have deep relationships. Did you know that? They're actually going to have deep, vibrant relationships. They're going to have a fabulous time. But on the other hand, if they make it their goal, just say, hey, the goal of the season is we're going to have fun and we're going to have great relationships. Guess what's going to happen? They're not going to win games and their relationships will become strained. Let me tell you something now. If you call yourself a Christian, I say this with everything, every fiber, everything that I have in my body. Christianity is not about having a fun time here on planet Earth. There's not one iota of New Testament scripture that says that. Do you know that we're in a war? We are in a war. The war is between God and Satan. It's between heaven and hell. And the battlefield are the souls of men and women and children. Did you know that? And whether we're talking about marriage, whether we're talking about our family's parenting, whether we're talking about our job, whether we're talking about our free time, you can't divorce it from the war. There's no shore leave. There's no break time. We're in a war. And everything that we do, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our family, whether it's our job, it's all designed to go back to the chief mandate of bringing everything under submission to Jesus Christ willingly. Does everybody understand that? Because if you don't do that, your marriage is going to fall apart. You can go to all the conferences you want because you don't have any point. You become worthless. It's not my word. You become worthless. The Yankees would be worthless. They might have a wonderful time together. They might have a wonderful relationship together. They're worthless. They got zero. They got the big goose egg. And you don't get an award when you stand before Jesus and say, well, we had a great time together, Jesus. No, he said, I put you two together, husband and wife. I gave you your kids. I gave you the job that you have, the free time that you have, the people in your sphere of influence, so that you had the great privilege of bringing them in submission to Jesus. No greater mandate than that. And once you do that, you know what? Your marriage becomes more vibrant. Your relationships with your kids become more vibrant. But you separate it from that mandate, and everything begins to fall apart. And you become worthless. God wants our lives to matter. He has a plan. See, and that's the question. Are you really, really, with your marriage, if that's what you have, with your family, in your job, your free time, do you see the people around you as an opportunity to bring them in submission to Jesus? Because if they don't end up in submission to Jesus when they die, guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And they will, at that point, they will, under coercion, say, Jesus, you are Lord. You are God. But how sad. That's what's at stake here. This is really serious business. And guys, we have an incredible opportunity right now to make an eternal difference if we grab hold of Philippians chapter 2 in verses 9 through 11. Lord, as we just move towards communion, I just pray that we'll look at communion. Jesus, on that final night, he was really giving the disciples that mandate to carry out the new covenant that he was instituting. It was to change their lives, their family lives, and ultimately they were to impact the people and the world around them. May this just be an awesome now, awesome time of communion this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Jeff Eckstein, one of the pastors here at Bethlehem Community Church. Welcome to our Sunday podcast, coming to you from the town of Bethlehem in upstate New York in the USA. Bethlehem Community Church is an independent, non-denominational, Bible-based evangelical church that includes people with backgrounds from many denominations. We believe that it is only through the love of the Father, the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can come into a personal relationship with God. We are people truly seeking a deeper intimacy with God and with one another. If you'd like to know more about our church, please visit our website at www.bccdelmar.org. There you'll be able to find our statement of faith, as well as more about the ministry of Bethlehem Community Church. You'll also be able to submit prayer requests, as we are called to pray with and for you. We also would love to hear your story and how you found our podcast and where you're listening from. So please visit our website and send us an email. Again, it's bccdelmar.org. That's bccdelmar.org. Thank you for joining us as we continue our pursuit of knowing God and making Him known.